Before I move along, I would like to acknowledge my a breeder who contributed equally with me, Dr. Klee Pranks, and also we're working with Dr. Shin and Dr. John Burke at the Plant Stress and Germplasm Development Unit at the ARS Laboratory in Lubbock, Texas. Our group is actually involved in sorghum, and we are working primarily on understanding the physiology and mechanisms of abiotic stress tolerance in sorghum and further enhancement of that tolerance for sorghum also in other crops. And one part of that work is this mapping of a genetic mapping and characterization of a trait in sorghum, which you probably have seen before and will point out to you. Yeah, sorghum has unique for its profuse amount of wax flakes in sheaths and leaves, which I'll be showing in a little while. They are known collectively as bloom. Previous studies have shown that bloom is a key morphological trait associated with abiotic and biotic stress tolerance. We have also been I'm finding out that sorghum has one of the highest amount of bloom or a particular wax compared to rice, corn, and barley. One of the neat things about this in sorghum as a system is that we can have stable mutants mutant lines of sorghum with reduced cuticle and almost devoid of epicuticular wax. They are ready for analysis. Some of them have been analyzed before, and then we have been also developing some in our mutant population. This is example of the mutant that we are working on. Actually, you can clearly see here the bloom. Yeah, so the bloom is in the abaxial side, and of course it's also here in the leaves. It's not as obvious as the one in the sheath. And here is an example of, here is the mutant parent that we're using, which is almost completely devoid of the wax. So when you look at it under the scanning electron microscopy, you can see filaments of waxes there, and then actually the wax are born out of the, you can see here from the, coming out of the epidermis and actually connected to the cuticle. So the objectives of the study I'm presenting today are to characterize the role of the cuticle with profuse wax trait by genetic and physiological studies. And we are also, of course, want to identify the gene that controls this using map-based cloning and candidate gene mapping, or map-based clone and candidate gene mapping. Here are some of our results. So we started with genetic, and I will present the genetic and physiological analysis. Just want to point out to you here how you can see the waxes of the plant as in the sheath, and then actually the peduncle of the leaves. What we did with the mapping is to cross, we used a mutant mapping population crossing well-known line BTX623, which is a wild type. That means it has profuse bloom, and we have KFS2021, a line which is derived from by gamma irradiation, which is almost devoid, 90% devoid of wax. This has been produced to cross to make by hand emasculation to produce F1, and then in the greenhouse we produced F2. Our study for this, the result I'm presenting is based on 100 F2 individuals and of 99 F2-3 families growing in the field. So we did the genetic analysis at the F2. It fits a 1:3, or 3:1 segregation ratio, and then a 1:2:1 segregation ratio at the F2-3 level generation. So we are proposing here, or we, there is a clear evidence that it is controlled by a nuclear, single nuclear dominant gene. This also confirms a previous finding by in the 80s that Bloom is controlled by mostly by single dominant gene in most of the mutants available. So we characterize this at the physiological level, and we just want to make sure we show to you before that in at the phenotypic level you can see that it's almost clear or devoid of wax, but actually when you chemically analyze the wax itself, there's still some coating that you can get there. So there is about, an, of course, a 90% reduction in the, or in the leaf itself, there is a 70% reduction, but in the sheet, there is a 90 to 95% reduction in the wax load. These are done both by chemical and gravimetric method. Then we moved on to also to look at the cuticle, which is done by gravimetric and method. And we also see in the leaves itself, we obtained about a 66% reduction in the cuticle with the mutant. What are the other physiological characteristics that we observed are the increase in permeability of the epidermis, or the epidermal permeability by extracting chlorophyll, and it's clearly shown in here that we increase permeability of the cuticle, which mainly suggests to us that it's a leakier, our mutant has leakier cuticle. More important, we were very interested that we were able to, we found that the mutant will have, of course, higher seedling water loss. And the rate of water loss in the seedling is quite dramatic compared and significantly higher than the wild type. And we were very excited with these results too. When we phenotyped the F2 population, we took nighttime readings of transpiration using conductances. And we can see that in that night, this is panel A here shows the nighttime transpiration of the F2 population, and that our F2s that are have bloom have very, very low or almost no undergoing transpiration in the night. But we can see a dramatic increase in transpiration at night when bloom or the epithelial wax is removed. Are almost it's all removed from the plant, and this increased about a six-fold increase in transpiration in the night. We also see a concomitant increase in transpiration with the bloomless progenies during the day, but not as dramatic as what we see in the night. This is also the effect of the mutation is also seen in the field. In the F2 trees, we can see bloomless F2 tree progenies having a higher plant death rate, which is sort of, in a sense, sometimes it's referred to as senescence, but in this case, we're just observing wilting. This is wilting at antheses. So from this physiological and genetic analysis, we just to summarize this part, we are shown that the profuse bloom that's in sorghum that we are looking at in the mutant is controlled by a dominant gene. And this loss of bloom is associated with cuticle loss. So our new name for the locus is actually called bloom cuticle, so that's why it's BMC. It's also, this name is in keeping with the tradition in naming genes in sorghum. There are previously identified bloomless mutants which are referred to as BMs. Just to summarize the physiological effects that we observed, we found a leaker cuticle with bloomless mutation. We found a leakier cuticle, which results in increased water loss. There is increased nighttime transpiration, which we thought is very interesting and could be significant, and increased wilting in the field. So from genetic and physiological analysis, we are interested in molecular mapping or identifying the actual gene responsible for this. And we've shown you the population before in the first part of the talk. What we did in here was to actually a two-step mapping procedure. We first have to isolate, correlate or identify the chromosome of interest by first looking at the, in our population, we knew, of course, the phenotype. So we chose 10 Bloom F2s and 10 Bloom bloomless F2s, and compare that and map that with 146 simple sequence repeats, which are distributed throughout the 10 chromosomes of sorghum. And after going through that, we found that we have our chromosome of interest is, and our trait, the locus is located in chromosome 10. We then further mapping in chromosome 10, and it so happened that a partial sequence of the sorghum genome is now available, and I have shown here the reference. If you are interested, and we mine for new markers using this the sequence, and was able to complete and establish a complete one chromosome 10 of sorghum populated by simple sequence repeats. And of course, there's quite a number of other simple sequence repeats for that chromosome also. So our region of interest is right here. It's in the terminal end of, this is our mutant locus. And it's on the larger scale, we have the locus is delineated by two SSR markers here, and the new one that we have just developed. And we then search the available sequence from this phytosome.net, and we're quite fortunate that it only, for now, we have a single super molecule that encompass this locus, and we further use that information to continue with high resolution mapping from XCAP 42 to this is an XCAP 49, yeah, so XCAP 42 to XCAP 49 right there, and then 7027 is about a 1.2 centimorgan region, and we develop more markers, and we're very close to the region of our interest right now. And basically, we can locate that in the provisional sequence and identify several candidate genes that are of interest. So from this study, I'd like to summarize this point that we have mapped our gene of interest to the terminal end of chromosome 10. It's flanked by, as of now, our region is about 0.6 centimorgan. We have several markers that we're looking at this, and we have 8 predicted ORF or in this region. And what we are hypothesizing is we have a multifunctional gene for SBMC that has profound effect on intolerance to abiotic stress in sorghum because of the different effect that we have shown earlier in our physiological analysis. What we are doing is, and are continuing to work on this, we're sequencing the ORFs and comparing the parental sequences between each other to hopefully identify something of interest there, but we are we are also working along the line of the MAP-based cloning. We have a number of mutants for this using using the population that has been developed by Dr. Shin. So we're going to do complementation study or allelism test for this. And finally, when we have the gene, we'll transform it back to sorghum to show functional complementation. And in the near future, we're hoping to see what this gene will do in rice to see whether we can improve response to a water deficit stress. And finally, this work is made possible by, of course, we paid tribute to Dr. Keith Schertz, who developed the mutant KFS 2021, Dr. Bob Klein from ARS in College Station for kindly providing us this mutant. And I'd also like to acknowledge my colleague, Dr. Matt Jenks, for very helpful discussions and the technical assistance of technicians at the lab in Lubbock, Texas. Thank you very much. There you go.